Are you cyber confident? Do you know what your digital footprint is? Do you understand the reasons you're a cyber target? In this podcast series, you'll learn what it means to be cyber confident both at work and at home. Because when it comes to cyber security, the front line is you. Alex Griffiths spoke to Christine Maxwell, Director of Cyber Defence and Risk, and Squadron Leader Rich C, Capability Development Desk Officer with UK Stratcoms. He started by asking what cyber security means to them.
I would obviously say that it's very important. And, you know, I've got a real mission in terms of raising the awareness, behaviours and culture of everybody across defence so that they also think that it's important. You know, cyber's really, it's all about the processes and the technology to protect systems, networks and information from cyber attack, because our adversaries want the information. But the easiest way to do that is our people. So hence, it's just really important that everybody actually thinks that cyber's as, you know, maybe not as important as I do, but that it's really a really key thing for their personal and their work life.
Yeah, and from my perspective, as Christine just mentioned there, our people are vital. And as we've gone through the journey in defence over the last number of years, information has really come to the fore as one of our lifeblood of all of defence activity. And therefore, people who can get access to that, it really causes a problem, because an adversary doesn't need an awful lot of information before they can start challenging our ways of operation and what we do. And it's really important for people from a cybersecurity perspective to think about the mission that we have and where any information that we might give away, whether intentionally or otherwise, can compromise the activities that we're doing, both for ourselves and on behalf of defence and for the government.
And you mentioned there about people, the materials that you release. It says the front line is you. Why is that?
We use that because we really want everyone to feel that they're part of this. And really, being cyber resilience is only truly going to work if we all adopt good behaviours. And therefore, people are the true front line of the cyber defence for MOD and the defence world. So the attackers, as I said, typically target people in order to get access, whether they send us phishing emails or they do other ways of deception to get us to divulge information. That's the easiest way. So everyone needs to be aware that they are a target and that they're the front line, so that actually if they can then report and alert us to when, if they see anything suspicious or anything happens, that we can take the right defensive measures so that we can be protected. So it's a real collective responsibility for everyone, from leadership right down and through and around the organisation. It's all really, we're all important.
What part do leadership have to play in this, and what can they do to help?
So they can really sponsor and lead by example would be two real important things I would say about leadership, because we're quite a hierarchical organisation, and you know, the command structure is very important to us, and if we see the leaders actually taking cyber seriously and also adopting good cyber behaviours, that will trickle down through the whole organisation. So, you know, that whole leadership and support and sponsorship for what we're trying to do with cyber awareness, just really, really important.
We mentioned, obviously, we've just spoken about leadership and they have a key role to play in this, but are there any misconceptions about who is actually responsible for it, for cyber security?
Yeah, I think, as was just said, there's a real leadership element involved. And I think there may be, I'm not necessarily a misconception, but too much reliance is placed on IT and the technical teams, and that cyber is going to be handled by somebody else. this is a hugely complex field, and our defense operations have a number of people and systems that are involved. So cyber resilience starts with good behaviors and being confident in knowing what those behaviors are, and then some of the technology can augment that and make sure that we are protected.
You mentioned good behaviors there, but what are the consequences of risky cybersecurity behaviors?
I don't want to be, you know, too dramatic, but it could be devastating. You know, if we ended up in a position where through cyber that there was misinformation passed into an operational domain that could ultimately, in worst case, put our people's lives at risk and put an operation in jeopardy, that, you know, that would be the absolute worst case scenario. Or it could be in that kind of highly embarrassing situation where, you know, if some information was leaked and we were all over the newspapers, or, you know, we had to, you know, talk with our allies, for example, in that, you know, we had a security challenge. You know, none of those things are things that we want to be part of. So hence the importance of cybersecurity and as all being part of it and being aware so that those consequences don't occur.
We've spoken about risky behaviour. What is defence doing to address the need for positive cyber behaviours?
You know, that's really what this is all about. So really, you know, the strapline that we've been using is all been about driving cyber confidence. And, you know, we want people to be confident in, you know, we all have to live and work in cyberspace these days. So, you know, what we're trying to do is build awareness, behaviours and a real cyber culture through our people. We're under no illusion that that's something that you can do overnight.
Yeah, and I think practicing good cybersecurity at home is just as important to protect your family and children. It doesn't need to be difficult or time consuming, but there are really some simple things that people can do, like having separate passwords for accounts, automatically updating software. It's just as simple as if you would like your, or would protect your money in that way. So you would like to see your bank operating in a sensible way where you use different passwords. It's doing the same thing across a number of your other areas of life.
And if you're using it at home in that way, then it naturally transfers to work and it just becomes a habit.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Is there any, everybody's glued to their phones or loads of different apps. I mean, my phone is full of different apps. Are there any apps in particular that give you and defence cause for concern?
So I won't name some of them, but there are lots of apps that aren't appropriate in a defence context, unfortunately, because of some of the origins and where we know that data may be passed. For example, we become aware of those apps that are really fun, engaging. People like to, whether they want to share something with some friends or let everybody know how good they are at twerking. There are those apps that we know bits of information can be brought together and start informing a picture of what's going on. And if people become aware that those are defence people, they then get a picture of what defence people are doing and what we may be doing. So when people get notified of something being banned, it's for good reasons or advice that you shouldn't use it. So it's really important to separate what people are doing also from their work and then their personal devices to make sure that if they are or have other friends who are using those devices and those apps, that there isn't a link back to defence. And that goes beyond apps as well. There are some other technologies that will be in people's homes that have a similar link back to other areas.
Is there anything that maybe highlights a cause for concern for you, Christine?
We do try to constrain the apps and the services that are used within defence, absolutely. But, you know, also trying to make sure that we've got access to the right technology and the right tooling. And, you know, there's a real push across defence just now about modernising and transforming so that, you know, we have maybe been a little too old-fashioned at times. So, you know, I think over the next certainly months and years, we'll start to see that modernisation take place, and doing that in a secure way is the way that we will drive that. So we want people to have the right technology at their fingertips, and that they can work in a good, efficient and secure way.
There are so many apps. I mean, you just need to go into the App Store and you can download apps that do pretty much everything. I guess it's just having that thought beforehand and just thinking about actually what you're downloading or what you're putting your personal information into. And what about personal devices? Is there still a risk from having these apps on your personal devices?
Yeah, so as I alluded to, with regards to apps within a defence context, there are also apps within a personal context that we'll provide information about. And advise where we don't think that they're relevant or should be used because of where data may go. People need to be aware that digital footprints online provide lots and lots of information to people who can get access to that, collect that information, and they can harvest that from areas such as social media, innocuous things that we think, such as delivery apps, business apps, and just photo apps. We all want to keep ourselves and our families safe. So there is information available to defence personnel as well on areas of concern around those applications. And our data can be used to provide methods for people to conduct cyber attacks against us in our personal lives and in our defence lives if we use them carelessly.
I wonder if you could just expand a little bit, Rich, on that digital footprint and how, if you were to put in your information into a food delivery app and then went for a run using a certain app, how all of that combined can actually build a picture.
Yeah, so there's so we call it within a military context, certainly on operations, we'll call it pattern of life. So we'll start looking at behaviours and things like that. So if you do things in a regular way or using those apps and going for runs, you can start building up, or adversaries or anyone can start building up a picture of what you do, and some. Certainly, there are some legal ways that people do that, and companies will use that information to provide you with more targeted adverts, with better offers when it comes to online shopping or even in supermarkets, which is all good. But that same information can be used to try and identify where there are vulnerabilities with things that you do, or where you could be targeted in isolation or something that can be used to leverage your family.
Perfect. I think that's really great information, because as I say, if you put one bit of information in one app, you don't think about what you then put in another app, and then it's just building a jigsaw of, as you say, pattern of life. If we move on to some takeaways that people should have from listening to this podcast, what does it mean to be cyber confident? If it's a collective responsibility, what can individuals do to protect themselves and defence as a whole?
There's loads of things that people could do, but there's probably some basic things that, you know, we if we all adopted, we would be more confident and be secure. So the number one thing I would say would be, if you're in doubt about something and you think there's a cyber risk, shout. So reporting and saying when something doesn't feel right, or challenging the behaviours of, you know, something that doesn't look right in a context that you're in, really, really important. So, you know, that whole reporting piece is key. Some other things about, you know, passwords. So use good passwords and, you know, keep, as we've already said, keep your passwords separate. So I keep my banking password as a unique password from anything else. I try to use phrases, use song lyrics, things that make in your passwords more difficult to guess. Really, really important. And keeping your work and your personal passwords separate as well. You know, we've talked about social media. So really, we're not saying don't use social media, but just use it carefully and really think about the information that you're sharing online, because that's a permanent record. So and that's also about being conscious about sharing with your friends and family. And anything that you can do to help share and make your family and your friends more secure as well is going to be good. Think before you click is, you know, so we all get, whether it's text messages or emails with, you know, maybe from companies that you're not expecting, with asking you to click links and divulge information. So just like you hear your bank saying, don't click on links and we'll never ask you for your username and password, same situation in a work context. So be very careful in that think before you click, and learn what a phishing email is going to look like. We've been pushing out some information on the key characteristics so that people can learn, and we will keep reinforcing that. So there are probably a few, you know, four or five things that if we all did, actually, we would be in a much stronger place, and they're all doable by everyone.
Finally, I'm going to put you both on the spot and say, what is the one thing that people, after listening to this podcast, should keep at the forefront of their mind? Rich, I'll put you on the spot first.
So I think it's about, it's a shared experience. We can all learn together to protect one another in the roles that we do.
Christine?
And I'd say get involved. Recognize that we are, you know, we're all targets. We've got information and systems that people are going to want access, and we are going to be that front line, and we're going to deal with it in a confident way. And let's talk about it. Let's share our experiences. Let's be part of the fight, and be cyber confident and take it forward.
You've been listening to Christine Maxwell, Director of Cyber Defence and Risk, and Squadron Leader Rich C, Capability Development Desk Officer with UK Stratcoms.